4. We will consider ourselves out of business conference. And like I said, we're running late this month. We'll have a proper business conference in November coming up, and that'll be here before we know it. This month's about gone, and time flies. I know I say that quite often, but I really am amazed at how quickly time gets gone. And so Mark chapter number 4, give you just a moment to turn there. And we're going to start reading in verse number 21 down through verse number 25. It's been a few weeks since we've been in this. Two Wednesday nights I was in revival, and then we had revival last week. And so been since the 1st of October. This is the 20th lesson in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse number 21. The Bible says there, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." And you may have a title in your Bible or a heading that says something along the lines of the parable of the candle. That's your note in a Scofield Bible, and so we'll just take that for a heading tonight, because that's what this is talking about, the parable of the candle. And this is probably one of the more well-known parables. It has its own children's song to go along with it. And so when I think about this, when I read this, I think about being a child, being in Sunday school, and us learning that song. About your light. It says this, not all of it, but you know what the song is. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let anyone blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. And so there's a song that goes along with this verse of Scripture in the Bible. And the song is actually is what it's talking about. It's a good exposition. That's a long word for explanation of what this verse is talking about. We have a light. We ought to let it shine. We shouldn't hide it from the world. So that's a great song. And so when I began to study this, that's the first thing I thought about was the song. In fact, I think during our revival Thursday night, one of the young children sang that song. And you're familiar with it, I know that. But verse number 21, we'll just start there and read through these verses and see what the Bible says, try to bring some applications out to us tonight. So we begin in verse number 21, the Bible said, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Now, as we study our Bibles, it's very important to notice the context that the Scripture's in. That means, what was it talking about before? And what is it talking about after? And if we'll learn to study our Bible and keep things in context, it'll help you understand. And you won't get twisted around and turned upside down and saying things that aren't so. What's the context of it? What is the setting? Well, last time we talked about the parable of the sower and the seed. And if we go back to chapter 4, verse number 13, we'll read a few verses over there. What's the context? What's the setting that Jesus is talking about when we're talking about the candle and the candlestick? Go to chapter 4, verse 13. "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" This is what we dealt with the last time we were here on Wednesday night. And so in verse 14, he said, "The sower soweth the Word. So he's talking about the sowing. He's talking about it's the Word of God. Verse number 15, and these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower in the first part of this chapter, he's not talking about seed. He's making an application. That seed is the Word of God. So the context, we're talking about the Word of God. That's what this first parable was about. And then he begins to talk about the candlestick. Well, let's look at some verses after this parable. Chapter 4, verse number 26. The Bible said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So he's still talking about seed there. He's still talking about sowing after this. Verse number 31. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So before and after, he's talking about seed. And the seed is the Word of God. And so the candle, when we're thinking about the candle, it's talking about the same thing. He's making an application. It's the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the light of life. And so he begins to make a application or a picture here. We've got a picture of a candle in our minds. And he said unto them, as a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick. So a candle is light. And with light, when we think about light, light has to do with knowledge. We might say when we're talking about any subject, and somebody knows something about it, they come along and they teach you something. They shed some light on the subject. Light is associated with knowledge. And light in the Bible is associated with responsibility. If you have light, you are to share the light. Not to hide it under a bushel, not to hide it under a bed, but it's to be set on a candlestick. It's not to be kept secret. But it's to be shared. When you have light, when you have knowledge, you have a responsibility to do something with that. I thought about a candle as well. It's warmth. Light, knowledge, warmth. You know, something that is, somebody that has knowledge, but they have no warmth, there's nothing really appealing to that. But as we have the light of the Word of God, there's a knowledge there, there's a responsibility there, there ought to be a warmth there, something that is inviting, something that is appealing, so we could make a lot of applications just with a candle, and thinking about a candle and a candlestick. And so the light represents all those things, but first and foremost, the light is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several verses. I'm going to read some out of the book of John. According to John chapter 1 verse 9, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said that was the true light, capital L-I-G-H-T, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John chapter 8 verse 12, the last part of the verse, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ, he's the light of the world. Chapter 9 verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And John 12 and 46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the light of the world. Now, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, ye are the light of the world. Now that's a great responsibility. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But you know, Jesus, he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day. He went back, he ascended into heaven. That left a responsibility on you and I. And we are the light of the world. We are to share the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our responsibility as the children of God. And I ask the question, or I think about this tonight, is there any hope for mankind apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anything as great as the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to share with anybody concerning anything? There is no hope for this world, for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, our loved ones. There's no hope for nobody apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hope in religion. There's a lot of religion in the world. But religion without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the saving power of the gospel, there's no hope in that. No hope. There's no hope in politics. I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just being honest. You know, you look around, and I told Kim today, I said, I can completely understand why people get totally turned off. They don't want to hear a thing about it. They don't want to go vote. It's hopeless. I mean, you get behind, and I mean, other than on a real local level where you know somebody, but you get up very high, even in our state, and if you were to, with good intentions, get behind somebody, it wouldn't take long. You'd find out they're not so great. They've got flaws. They might be right on one thing, be wrong on two things. There's no hope in that. No hope whatsoever in that. There's no hope in social programs or, you know, people, they're all the time doing things to do good, and I'm for doing good. That's nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't save anybody's soul. Raise money for this cause or that cause, or there's no hope in that. The only hope in the world for mankind is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. So what the Lord Jesus is talking about here in these verses, this is very important. You do not bring out a candle to hide it. What does he say in verse number 21? He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? There's two common things there. Everybody knew what the Lord Jesus was talking about. He said, you don't get a candle and put it under a bushel. When I was growing up, I heard this in Sunday school. They illustrated it with a bushel basket. You know, you might get apples or something in a bushel basket. Well, it's not exactly a bushel basket, but it is a measure of some kind. So it'd be right to do that. You get a basket, you don't get a candle and put a basket over the top of it. But a basket is a measure. And a basket represents, in the Bible, it represents business. It represents commerce. You know, we get busy with life, and we've got to go here, and we've got to go there, and we've got to do this. We should not let our everyday business hide the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shouldn't hide it behind a bushel or under a bushel. There's no such thing as being a Christian on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, when you're making money, that doesn't have any impact or influence on your life. A.W. Tozer, which I like him, he's a great writer to read after. But I remember reading in his writings years ago, he talked about the life of a Christian. There's nothing that should not be sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, you can't cut up your life in little categories and say, this is for the Lord, this is for the world, this is for God, this is for me. Everything in our lives ought to be under the influence of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hide your light under a bushel. That's what the Lord Jesus said. But not only under a bushel, he said in verse number 21, or under a bed. Now, a bed speaks of leisure. It speaks of pleasure. It speaks of taking some time of rest or some time off is what the bed is talking about. And again, on the same thing, what's the two things that dominate our lives in America? Business and pleasure. Measure and pleasure. Those two things. The Lord Jesus said, don't hide your candle under the other things in your life. The candle ought to be prominent. It ought to be first. God doesn't take a back corner and drag him out when we get in trouble or when we feel sad or when we have problems in our life. We shouldn't hide our candlestick under a bushel or under a bed. But look what the Bible says, that it is to be set on a candlestick. That's what you get a candle for, and not to be set on a candlestick. That's what you do with a candle. You read the other places in the New Testament where it talks about this candle. It talks about putting the light on a candlestick that all who enter may see thereby. Everybody that comes around is impacted and influenced by that lit candle on a candlestick. And so our light ought to be on a candlestick. To study the candlestick in the New Testament is very interesting. The word candlestick is mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, 4 in the Gospels, Matthew 1 time, Mark 1 time, Luke 2 times. And each time it's a little bit different. I believe the Lord Jesus used this example more than one time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all, when they heard it, it influenced them. The Spirit of God brought it back to their remembrance. He used this more than one time, talking about the candle and the candlestick. It's used one time in the book of Hebrews, but it's talking about the Old Testament tabernacle. And it's used one time in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 5, where the Lord Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The Lord Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, if you don't get back to where you started from, I'm going to remove your candlestick. And then the word candlesticks is used in reference to the 7 churches in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter number 2. Chapter 1 verse 12. Verse 13, verse 20, and chapter 2, verse number 1. And so the churches are represented by the Lord Jesus Christ as being candlesticks. Our church is to be a candlestick with a lit candle upon it. That lit candle is the Lord Jesus, who's the light of the world. And as a church, we are to hold forth His light. And if we have a church in this day and time, or any day and time, that is not holding forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's really not a church. See, we have one primary responsibility: let your light shine. That can be applied personally, no matter who I am or what my title is through the week. I'm to shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus. Whether I'm on the job, whether I'm in school, you say, well, you're a preacher, you ought to be doing that all the time anyway. I really should. You should, if you're a Christian, saved by the grace of God. So personally, we apply this, I'm to let my light shine. And then corporally, as a body together, that is our primary purpose as a church, to let the light of the Lord Jesus shine in this dark world in which we live. And the wonderful thing about a candlestick, if it's real dark, you light one candle, it lets off a lot of light. And so if we all let our light shine where we are, where we work, where we go to school, what our jobs are, where we travel, where we shop, all of those places, it'll make a difference in a dark world. We live in a dark world. So that's what he's talking about in verse number 21. Verse number 22. He said, "For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." Now, I want to go back to chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. We looked at this last time, but I did not comment on it. I didn't say anything about it, but I don't know if you noticed it or not. But when the Lord Jesus was talking about the parables, and we talked about parables conceal and parables reveal, look what he said in chapter 4, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, if we just looked at that alone, we may think, does that mean the gospel's not for everybody? Is the Lord hiding the gospel from some and revealing it unto others? Nothing could be further from the truth. But the disciples received it first. But some, when they seen it, they didn't see it. When they heard it, they didn't hear it. But it's not that the Lord does not want all to know, because the Lord wants all to know about Him, about His truth. And that's what we find in verse number 22. Look what he said again, thinking about what he just said about the parables in verse 22. He said, for there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. God's desire is that all may know. Not just the disciples either, but he said that it should come abroad. When we know what the Bible says about the gospel, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we read on down verse number 23 with verse number 22. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If that's not a universal invitation, I don't know what is. If any man has ears to hear, let him. Everybody has ears. Now, I know how it is. Somebody will say, but preacher, there was a man born, there was a baby born, and something was wrong, and he didn't have any ears. But you know what? Even if there is something like that, and I'm sure there is, they still would know what it means to have ears, because everybody has ears. And the Lord Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. That's anybody. That's everybody. The Lord wants all to hear. And he's not in the secret keeping business, but he is in the business of manifesting his truth, that it might come abroad, that all may know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody has ears. The problem is, not everybody has ears to hear. Look what he said in verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, some would rather walk in their own light than in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the majority of people would rather walk in their own light, which is really no light at all, than they would to accept and walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I go out at night and I look up and I see the stars, and I see the moon, and I see the creation during the daytime, I have no problem. I see God in all of that. I see the Lord. I see the hand of the Lord. I see a little baby in their little fingers and the miracle of birth and all of these things. I mean, we could go through the whole list tonight of creation, and I see the hand of God. Somebody else, but they don't see that at all. They see a big bang in billions of years, and I don't understand that. To me, you got to have more faith to believe in that than you do in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. How easy it is and how peaceable it is to my soul to see the hand of God everywhere, all round about us. How hard it is for others. What a turmoil they have in their life. Boy, they don't see God in anything. They don't want to see the Lord in anything. They do not have ears to hear. But the Lord said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He's speaking. And if somebody will just open the door of faith, God will honor that. He'll continue to speak. He'll manifest himself. He'll let them know. Verse number 24. Here's a good lesson on hearing. He said, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse number 18 is just a little bit different. And it says over there, and you might want to find it and underline it later. Here, the Lord Jesus said, take heed what ye hear. Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. Take heed how ye hear. There's a good lesson there on listening. There's a proper technique to learn to listen, to learn to hear. We need to be very discerning in what we listen to, in how we hear, and what we hear. Do you believe everything that you hear? You better not. If you do, you'll be sending your bank account information to Nigeria. Years ago, I don't know if it's still going around, but there's an email going around that this Nigerian prince, he had inherited millions of dollars, and he was looking for somebody that would help him get some money into this country, and he'd give you half of it if you just send your bank account information to it. He'd just deposit it right in there. That went around for a long time. If you believe everything you hear, you believe everything you hear on the internet, if they put it on the internet, it's bound to be true. You believe everything you hear and read in the news? You believe everything that the election, the politicians, all the promises they're making, do you believe everything you hear about that? No. Do you believe everything that just because somebody is a teacher or a professor or a preacher or something like that, do you believe everything that they hear just because? Do you believe everything Grandma ever said? Some people. I've told you about a friend I tried to witness to, and he said, I can't come to church with you. I cannot. He said, I can never be anything but a Catholic. I promised my mom I'd never be anything but a Catholic. And I told him, I said, look, we're talking about your eternal soul. I know you love your mama. I love my mama. But look what the Bible says. Take heed how ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. Don't just take anything that I say and say, well, the preacher said this. Study it out for yourself. What matters is not what the news says or not what some professor or some preacher or some politician or some writer says. What matters is what the Word of God says. It'll never lead you wrong. Men, all men are susceptible to error. They might lead you wrong and don't even mean to. They might be wrong. The Bible said in Acts 17, verse number 11, it says about the Thessalonians, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And Paul, he went and he preached unto them, and he said, the great thing I love about that group of people, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. Have you ever noticed that it said that over there in that verse? That means that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. It means they received it with an active mind. They were really paying attention to what Paul had to say. And then when they took note of what he said, they searched the Scriptures. We need to check Paul out and make sure he's telling us right. That's what they did. That will not bother somebody that's preaching the Word of God. They'll be glad you did it. The only ones that do not want you to search and find the truth for yourself is somebody's telling you a lie. If somebody comes along and says, just believe what I'm telling you right, I'm probably not going to believe them. They're probably trying to scam you. They're probably trying to lie to you about something. But those in Acts chapter number 17, they received it with a readiness of mind. They were ready to receive the Word of God. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. If the radio's on, I'm listening to what kind of message it's trying to preach to me. Because everybody and everything in this world's trying to direct you away from God. Don't just, just have a TV on for noise, but what's going in your mind you're not being careful about. You're not paying any attention to, but it's still going in there. Take heed how you hear and what you hear. Don't just believe anything. Test it with the scriptures. So verse number 24, he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Then in the last part of verse 24, he said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now I learned something as I was studying verse number 24. Read that again. Pay close attention to what it says. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. What is he talking about? He's talking about the light of the gospel. He's talking about the Word of God and our responsibility with the Word of God. Somebody asked me yesterday, I told him I was a pastor, and he asked me the question. He said, how do you come up with a message every week? How long do you spend studying, and how do you come up with something different? Just an honest question. And I said, I pray about it, and I study, and I read my Bible every day, and I begin to meditate on a thought of some kind. That's what I told him. This happened just yesterday. But the biblical answer is here in verse number 24. How do you get something else from the Lord? How do you get something different? How does a Sunday school teacher teach for 45 or 50 years, or a preacher? And I told the gentleman yesterday, I said, I used to worry about that. I said, but I have come to realize that I'll never live long enough to preach all the way through the Bible. It is inexhaustible. There's no way you're going to run out of material when you come to the Word of God. It's alive. So I'm not worried about, what am I going to preach Sunday? But here's the biblical answer to that. Jesus said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. All I do as a pastor, I meet out what God gives to me. And when I measure out what the Lord gives to me, He gives me some more. That's the biblical answer to that. Where'd that message come from? I don't know. I delivered the last one he gave me. Sort of like being a waiter in a restaurant. You don't have to come up with the food. You don't even have to cook it. You just go back there and get it, and you take it out and you serve it. And you go back and you get some more, and you take it out and you serve some more. And so that's sort of how it is. And if you stop serving it, you're going to stop getting it.
So the lesson there, do you want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? People say, I'd love to know more about the Bible. I'd love to be able to find those verses and know more about the... Now you got to read, and you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. But if you really want to learn more, it's very simple. Just hear what God is saying to you. Listen. Have your mind and your heart open unto the Lord. And when God shows you something, you apply that to your life. And as long as you're saying yes to the Lord, He'll give you more. He'll give you more. But once you tell God no, your growth is going to be stunted. And you'll not grow. Why should God show you B when you've not listened to A yet? If you listen to A, God will show you B. And if we'll apply B, we'll learn about C, D, E, F, G. You see what I'm saying? So he's saying unto you, the measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. That's a biblical way to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." God's not running out of light. He's got plenty to lead us along in this dark time. And I was going to read another verse. You might want to write it down. Read it later. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Or 1 Peter chapter 1. I wrote it down wrong. Verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." That's talking about the word of God. "Whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." We're living in a dark world, but we've got a bright light, the Word of God, to show us, to lead us along. Say, what in the world is happening? Well, I pretty much know what's happening. But I know because of what the Bible says, not what the paper said this morning. So we have the Word of God to lead us and guide us. Verse number 25, the last verse there. It said, "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." If you remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to, if you look back in chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible said, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. And you know, even one of the disciples was lost. It was Judas. And I believe if you want an example of what verse number 25 is talking about, we could look at the person of Judas. He was a disciple, but the Bible said, calls him the traitor. He was a traitor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a lost person. He was religious. He looked like all the rest of them. He acted like all the rest of them. He had a form and a fashion. He looked the part. He had the outward look of being a disciple. But what Judas had was false. He was an imposter. He was not a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." There are many churches that once upon a time held forth the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But just because a church was faithful once upon a time does not mean that they will be faithful for all time. If we're not faithful to him, the Lord said, you read over in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. The Lord said, "I'll remove your candlestick." There's churches that are really no longer a light. They're just a social club. They're just a civil rights proponent of some kind, but they're not a gospel preaching church. The light's gone. What they had once upon a time has been taken away. There's churches that are like that. There are ministers out here, priests and preachers and monks and bishops and vicars and whatever else you want to call them, that actually have no light whatsoever. They may have a title of minister. They may wear a robe. They may go to church and be called the pastor. But if they are preaching no gospel or have no gospel, there's no light in them. Even what they had has been taken away. There are church members all throughout the world that have no saving real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, religion alone is just an outward shell. It's like a garment. But what matters is not a garment on the outside, it's what's on the inside. There's got to be something on the inside. 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, "Having a form of godliness," that's an outward garment, a look like, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul told Timothy in the last days it'll be abundant. There'll be a lot of religion, but there's no power. There's no saving power. There's no gospel. And so what these verses are talking about, the parable of the candle, is just like that little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Not hide it, but show it for all the world to see. So a lot of good instruction. And then beginning in verse number 26, it starts with something else, but there's just a lot of good things there in those verses to remind us of that Sunday school song that many of us learned a long, long time ago. Still applies today. A lot of good truth there. So I appreciate your good attention, and I hope you got something out of it. And so we need to be very careful as stewards that we are good stewards of what the Lord has given unto us, and that's the gospel.